Now, the political landscape has shifted in recent years. Some of the rules of modern politics may be different than they were even a decade ago. Our next guest points to former President Trump as an example of how politicians and parties function in our current media landscape and says that a new mixture of politics and entertainment extends beyond any one candidate. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you seen the world of politics change in recent years? Do you see politicians' image and perception becoming more important than their actual politics and policies? Are there candidates you've seen reverse that trend, take a more old-school approach? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. David Schultz is a professor of political science at Hamline University, professor of law at the University of Minnesota. He's co-author of the new book, Trumpism, American Politics in the Age of Politainment. David, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you for having me again. It's always a pleasure.
Let's tackle this concept of politainment, politics and entertainment. What do you mean by that?
Well, it's interesting. It's a term that a student of mine about 25 years came up with when Jesse Ventura was elected governor in Minnesota. And she at one point said to me that, you know, he's kind of like a combination of a politician and an entertainer at the same time. And she coined the word polytainer. And we eventually did some writing on it to say, well, there's really a new era of politics now. It's about how certain candidates for office, we call polytainers, really sort of feed off of let's say, a lot of, network news or, let's say, the social media. And they kind of are engaged in a symbolic, almost parasitic relationship about how now candidates who are good in terms of entertainment venues become very successful in campaigns, and of how oftentimes candidates now to reach people go out onto what? Onto entertainment platforms to reach people and not just appear on news, and how news increasingly, in order to be able to become profitable, to attract listeners, oftentimes uses entertainment venues or techniques to reach people. And so what we really decided is that what we're really looking at is Donald Trump is the most recent incarnation of how politicians, entertainment, and politics have really converged together.
And the title of the book is Trumpism. You say Donald Trump isn't the only person doing these things, but he mastered it in a way that matched up with the media landscape at the time. What are some of the things you saw him doing that that exemplified politainment, at least as it currently exists?
Well, let's think about Donald Trump before he even ran for president of the United States. Now, in a deeper sense, he was playing the New York media scene for many years. But what was it? For 15 years, he was the host of The Apprentice. He cultivated an image. He cultivated a brand. You know, so we had, you know, the Trump Towers, the Trump Estate, what Trump Wines, Trump Steaks. I'm trying to think of all the other kind of Trump things. But really what he did very successfully was to create a brand on television about who he was and his persona. And even when he declared for his presidency, you know, this was kind of a made for TV event. And to a large extent, we have studies that pointed out that in 2016, when he first ran, that the commercial media found that by covering him, they would get enormous numbers of viewership. And so Trump found that by appealing to the media, the skills that he honed would get him media attention. The media found that by covering him, that would generate viewers, which translates into dollars. And so they really sort of came together. And then also, I think where Trump was brilliant was in the sense of understanding how to master social media in terms of Twitter. And as president, he would start off every day early in the morning, let's say, send out two or three tweets that would then set the political and news agenda for the rest of the day. So he really understood ways of how to further his image, to help him politically, but at the same time, it served the interests of let's say mainstream media by giving them easy news stories to cover. So in some sense, they really were, again, in kind of a relationship built for one another.
Yeah, there's this concept called earned media in the PR world, yeah. Meaning I've gotten my person or my product or my company in the news without paying for an advertisement. And whatever people think about the politics of Donald Trump, he got a lot of that earned media on CNN in particular, or by, as you said, tweeting and getting coverage of tweets. I don't think I've seen anything else like that in politics.
You're absolutely correct. I mean, the estimates I've seen were somewhere in the area of about $2.6 billion, as in the B, billion dollars in 2016 that he got in terms of earned media. And he understood it's not just, you know, traditional news. It was going to be in, let us say, non-traditional sources, because as we know, not everybody's watching the news. Not everybody is reading a newspaper. People are going to social media. They're going to, and I talk about this in my book, take us back 20 years ago, you know, to 2020, actually the 2000 election. The nighttime talk shows, you know, Letterman, Leno, places like that were the place to go for coverage. Or think about it, if I work backwards in time, how did Bill Clinton in 1992 launch his really his presidential campaign, appearing on Arsenio Hall, and he played the saxophone. So we have this long legacy of where candidates understood how to go to, let's say, pop culture venues to be able to attract attention. But really, Trump, part of what the book is about is how Trump understood and mastered this very effectively.
Talking to David Schultz from Hamline University and the University of Minnesota, co-author of the new book, Trumpism, American Politics in the Age of Politainment, Blurring the Lines Between Politics and Entertainment, Cultivating Images, and Changing the Rules of Politics. You can join in with your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Do you have a recent or distant example of a major political candidate crossing the lines, harnessing the power of entertainment, ably or less so? Or do you have a question for our guest? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. David, at the heart of this, I think, is a changing media landscape. Once upon a time, you know, there were big, serious newspapers and just a few networks. And if I'm a politician and I talk about my policies, they probably cover it. Now there's so many different outlets, so much competition for our eyes and ears. Is this cultivation of an image, this politainment, what it takes to cut through the noise and get out there?
I think it is, in part, because in a fragmented media market, you've got to find all kinds of different places to be able to advertise. But additionally, also think about it here, that so I think effectively cutting through some of the noise, but also what I try to talk about in the book here is that even though we need to be thinking about the changing political landscape that the new media markets and fragmentation, you know, portend, I still try to discuss in the book, there's some basic essentials that never go away. And part of the book is talking about Trumpism, about how there are other candidates who are doing this, about sort of the polytainment landscape. But as you go through the book here, I basically discuss sort of the basic 10 rules of politics, and they're the fundamentals for winning campaigns. So, for example, my most important rule of politics, and I try to write these with pop culture references, is to say that what politics is like selling beer. At the end of the day, politics is still about having a clear message, a narrative, a story to tell. And if you think about, for example, Donald Trump's message, from back 6 years ago, whether you liked it or not, it's a different story entirely. It was what? Make America great again. He had a story. He had a message. And what I try to unfold in the book is these 10 different rules about appealing to your base, having a message, all about thinking about fact versus fiction, reality in terms of how you craft those messages. And so what I try to do is to say that what Trump really captures in some ways is both this sort of new reality of communications, but at the same time, grafts it onto some real basic rules about how you really do winning campaigns. And the whole art of the book here, it's not written for political scientists. This is written for the general public, is to say, let's take what we've learned about political science, what we've learned about real campaigns, and how do we now explain this to real people? And my co-author, Avery Gaylor, was a high school student, and I said to her, go help me come find with me pop culture references that appeal to your generation also. So what we're really trying to think about is how do we appeal to a new generation of voters? How do we run winning campaigns in this new political environment?
We're talking to political science and law professor David Schultz about his new book, Trumpism, American Politics in the Age of Politainment. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think politics have become too much about emotions and entertainment? And What do you think it takes to win a campaign? Big ads that earned media, capturing the media's eye through entertainment type statements? Or is there a lot of old school stuff that still applies? Call 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking to David Schultz about his new book, Trumpism, American Politics in the Age of Politainment. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls now. Erica is with us in Lake Tomahawk. Erica, hi.
Well, hi there. You were talking about politainment, and I think two fine examples are Adolf Hitler and Joe McCarthy. Adolf Hitler discredited the media, and he was he was the whole show, and so was Joe McCarthy. He had nothing to not a leg to stand on politically, but or even factually, but by God, he got in the news.
Thanks for the call, David. What do you think? Older examples?
I think there are older examples. I think Joe McCarthy is a great one. Again, my focus is on American politics, but clearly there's no question that Hitler understood how to, you know, manipulate the media, manipulate communication technologies. He understood very effectively, you know, how to play upon, and I talk about this in my book too, about how to play upon the emotions of people very, very well. The way I sort of trace it out here is that really sort of the road to politainment. I hadn't thought about Joe McCarthy. I thought about Dwight Eisenhower initially, you know, the first presidential candidate to run political advertising, or about how John Kennedy was really sort of the first made for TV president, or how in 1968, I think it was, Richard Nixon appears on the NBC show Laugh-In, understanding how to appeal to, again, pop culture references to help yourself. Or I was thinking of another Midwestern candidate at this point. I'm forgetting his name now. Remember the old show Love Boat? And there was, I think, Fred Grandy, who played Gopher
on Love Boat. Yeah.
Yeah. He goes on to become a member of Congress, or Sonny Bono becomes a member of Congress using their persona. And the reason why I use the word persona is that they become manufactured candidates. It's not a real person. It's the persona they're running. Donald Trump ran as a persona, not as who he was. And that gets into one of the other themes of the book, where polytainment is about a world where what? Fact and fiction blur. And it's about setting up a world where you don't have to run on truth. You can run on image. You can run on really images and symbols that appeal to people.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Sid joins us now in Milwaukee. Sid, hi.
Hey, I would say that the stakes, like this, what hangs in the balance is far greater right now in terms of politics than before because of the sheer religious and ethnic diversity in the USA. I mean, we're kind of on the edge of where, like, people that want to continue the only thing the USA had in common from sea to shining sea was white supremacy. So that's taking away a huge portion of, like, the de facto pre-1960s culture. And as we get extremely ethnically diverse, it's essentially just a war between those that want to continue the traditional, quote unquote, America, and it becoming, you know, a new thing where that's not going to be the culture and it'll balkanize. I don't see a way out.
Sid, thanks for the call. How do you see a more diverse culture, David, affecting the way political campaigns work?
It certainly challenges them in a variety of ways, because first it's going to mean perhaps finding all the different venues to reach different populations. It's also going to mean having to refine your strategies in terms of messaging. You know, for many years, I taught in a school of business, and in that school of business, we talked all about corporate communications, and there used to be this old joke that said, for advertising and messaging, I know half of my advertising is a waste. I just don't know which half is a waste at this point. And what I'm getting at here, if we think about, and this is part of what polytainment is about, if we think about candidates as being, and campaigns as being businesses and products to be sold, how do we market a candidate like a Donald Trump? How do we message them? And the plurality our growing ethnic diversity in this country only creates more of a challenge in terms of figuring out how to use more multimedia strategies to be able to reach people and to appeal to different groups with different messages. And again, what Trump was good at doing was identifying a core base of people, a core base that's with him. Remember, he once said, what was it? I could take out a gun on Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody and they wouldn't abandon me or something. He understood his core base, how to work with them and how to message to them. And then he also understood, again, how to get that earned media time, how to message in ways like Make America Great Again, to say something without saying anything.
We are talking to David Schultz. His new book is Trumpism, American Politics in the Age of Politainment. Let's bring on another caller. Kevin is with us in Janesville. Kevin, hi.
Hi. Say, I totally get the point the author's trying to make with the politainment. I see it. But ultimately, isn't this just empty calories of potato chips? And we're still longing for something more sustaining and fulfilling, and that the latest flash in the pan is just going to go and the next bright, shiny bauble gets our attention and political careers are gone. And here we are suffering because of it.
Kevin,
thank you.
Thanks for the call. What do you think, David?
I think the caller is exactly right, that we are chasing one shiny ball to the next. It's almost like that whatever's trendy today really sort of will capture our attention and sell. It sells a candidate. It sells an image and so forth. And that's exactly the whole point here, is that if the goal is for a candidate to capture our attention in a noisy world, conversely, if it's the goal of for-profit media to be able to figure out ways of attracting viewers, the marriage comes together to figure out what's the shiny object that we talk about today that will appeal to both helping the candidate and appeal to selling airtime, selling advertising, et cetera, et cetera. And the depressing part about it, I think the caller is exactly correct in this, is the sense that it's not about substantive public policy. It's not about saying, let's actually accomplish or do something. It's, I think I point out at one point, it's about image is everything, reality is nothing. Say that you're making America great again, or say that we're doing certain types of things. That may be more important than really actually doing things. I mean, again, going back, and the focus is on Trump here, you know, is that Trump in so many ways represented, for example, the antithesis of let's say what evangelical Christians supported and what they wanted, yet they supported him because he said the right things. It may be what you say, not what you do.
Thanks for that call. David, getting back to your rules of politics, one thing that struck me here in Wisconsin, post-election on the Republican side of things, there's a fairly heated email thread about why they didn't win the race for governor. And there's the debate, aside saying we put too much money into the high-priced consultants, not enough into the oldest school of politics, people going and knocking on doors and persuading people to go to the polls on our side. You address both sides of that in your rules, and this isn't the first time a campaign has had that post-mortem debate.
You're actually correct here. I want to take us back to 2016 when Hillary Clinton lost the presidential race, and she lost it because, in part, she didn't follow the basic rule of politics. The way I describe it, in Minnesota, she lost the caucuses. She lost the primary in Wisconsin, lost the primary in Michigan. What does she do? She takes the votes for granted, figures that, guess what? Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota, and Pennsylvania have nowhere else to go. In those first three states, she never comes back to campaign during the general election, and she loses two of those three and loses the presidency. And in her closing days of her election, instead of nailing down her base, she goes to places like Arizona and Texas. And what I try to argue is that she violated one of the most fundamental rules of politics, which is the idea of saying what? Mobilize your base, take every campaign, ask for a vote. Don't assume it's yours. And I think partly what we saw in Wisconsin this year is Republicans, you know, violating that, but also at some point it's the message. They were trying to sell a brand, send a message or sell a message, and they were not successful, at least at the gubernatorial level, in terms of doing it. And so a lot of, again, what this book is about is rules that seem to endure basically, no matter what the communication technologies, what are the basic rules for winning politics?
In our last minute, David, flip things around. You're a voter is listening. How do they try to see through the images that campaigns are creating?
This comes the tougher one here is in terms of how do they sort through a lot of the stuff here. You know, originally the show was going to be about a piece that I did in a local newspaper saying about my argument against polling during elections. I would start off by saying first, ignore any polls that are out there. Don't pay attention because they're a distraction. Try to figure out ways of going beyond the social media. Read across lots of reputable sources of news. And maybe almost ask the basic question here. If a candidate is promising something too good to be true, it probably is too good to be true.
David, we'll leave it there. Thanks, as always, for joining us.
My pleasure, and thank you to the listeners.
That's David Schultz, professor of political science at Hamline University, professor of law at the University of Minnesota, with us today sharing his new book. It's called Trumpism, American Politics in the Age of Politainment.